goes astray, and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
Good afternoon, everybody.
When dreams become
Friday afternoon, Friday at noon, time for the Divorce Hour. I am your host, Larry Bloom. I have to tell you, no matter how bad a mood you're in, you hear those sounds of the intro to When Love Goes Astray, and you can't help but smile. Today, we are talking about divorcing a sixth spouse, or as we will get into later on, the G word and the F word. A little perspective. I walked into the studio 2 minutes ago, drenched in sweat, because I was appearing in my own divorce case today as a litigant. To say that I was unhappy and angry when I walked in here is an understatement. But I heard those sounds, and as they say, the show must go on. Today I am joined by Ellen. Ellen, would you care to give yours or someone else's last name?
My last name is Gold.
Hello, Ellen. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you, Larry. How are you?
Great. Thanks for coming in. First of all, a couple of disclaimers. Ellen is not my client. Ellen is not my girlfriend. Ellen is just my friend. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fact.
Okay. I don't represent you, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, you're in the middle of a divorce?
Almost final.
Good for you. I wish mine was almost final.
I don't believe in dragging it out.
I don't believe in dragging it out either. However, it takes two people to say yes.
This is true.
Now, how long are you married?
I've been married for 14 years.
And how long has your divorce process gone on?
It's been about 5 months, and it should be over relatively soon.
That's great. And the topic today is divorcing a sick spouse. Is it fair to say that your spouse is sick?
My spouse is in recovery. He is a survivor,
a cancer survivor. Okay, and brain cancer?
Yes.
Okay. Now, there came a point, well, I don't even know that. Let me ask you this. But when did your husband get sick?
My husband got sick 17 years ago. So prior to us getting married, he had a brain tumor and had surgery and had come through a pretty severe and long recovery. And I was there with him during that period of time. And we did decide to marry a few years later. And he had been healthy for quite a while, although there were some minor deficits. He didn't have a serious brain cancer. He had a tumor that was removed. It's called a resection. And so really what was left was any residual damage from just being inside his brain. And there is just some brain trauma from that alone. He had a few recurrences that had added to some disabilities. But relatively healthy for the last 8 to 10 years, I would say.
Okay. Now,
healthy in terms of being a cancer or brain tumor patient.
Okay, fair enough. And was that a malignant or a, I forgot the word.
Never good when it's in your brain.
I understand that. My mother had a meningioma, okay. So I understand.
Meningioma is almost always, if not always,
benign,
which is an oxymoron when it's in the brain. Right. However, his cell was a very slow-growing cell, was not aggressive, not like the, you know, Teddy Kennedy brain tumor. So the deficits were not nearly as severe. However, it does take a toll on your life, on your mental health, and your ability to do the things that you really need to retrain a lot. And he was very sick for many years after the original surgery, and the deficits were constant. However, I that being said, I think that a lot of them were able to be worked on, and it became more of an emotional problem for both of us.
Okay, well, 5 months ago, you didn't wake up and say, okay, I don't want to be married anymore.
No,
what happened?
About a year and a half ago, I realized that this is not getting better. He is not a happy person. He pretty much gave up. He is high-functioning neurologically. There's no reason why he can't work, why he can't do things, why he can't volunteer his time. He's a long-term survivor. There are many brain tumor patients out there that could really use his help and advice and stamina and whatnot. And he chose to, I mean, that this came after months of surgery, months of therapy for me, that I realized that this half of other half of my soulmate has given up on life. And our life was all about me pulling it together every day, everything. And it's very tiring, and it started to take its toll on me personally in every way.
Okay, and there's an age difference between you and your husband.
There is
correct?
A 14-year age difference.
Okay. I don't want to sound like a doctor, but what were your symptoms? How did you know it was taking its toll on you?
I would come home from work, basically, and get to the front door of my apartment and take my last deep breath because I felt like the air was being sucked out of my lungs the moment I walked in.
Oh, my God. Have you listened to me? That's what I did. I took it out of the car and had a deep breath. We're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk more with Ellen Gold, and we're going to talk about the G word and the F word. I haven't told you what those are yet. If you have questions for me or for Ellen, the number here is 877-480-4120. This is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom, and we are on Talking Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
There's a little bit. black spot on the sun today.
That, of course, is the Police, or are the Police, singing King of Pain. There's a little black spot. Now, that could be talking about the cancer that is your spouse, or, in Ellen's case, the brain tumor that her husband suffered from. We are here with Ellen. Normally, I would tell Ellen Gold, I would tell people how to contact you, but I don't want you to be barraged. If you want to contact Ellen, you'll do it through me. You can reach me at Larry at DivorceByBloom, BLOOM.com. You can also email me with show topics and things of that nature. So the G word is, of course, guilt. You must have felt really pretty guilty.
Guilt for many, many years, to the point that I would never even consider leaving my spouse. It was never even perhaps a thought buried so deep inside, but it was nothing I would ever seriously consider. And things just started to get so difficult for me. There was a death in my family, the recession. Things just started to close in around me, and I felt that my plate was just getting smaller and smaller, and my responsibilities were greater and greater. And I felt like I had very little support in my inner circle, my core, other than my friends and some family members. And I was quite unhappy. I was very successful in my work life, but due to the recession, pressure was on there, and the thought of, what am I going to do if something happens? I'm getting older. I'm taking care of this man who does nothing. I come home after a full day at work and have to completely take care of everything in the home, pay all the bills, figure out all of the finances. All of it was on my shoulders. And you go along in life just doing things that you have to do. You need to do them. I have children. You take care of them. You do what you need to do. You get up every day. It's a new day. And I went along that road for many, many years. And some outside things like a death in the family and the recession really started to close in on me. And the fear started to take over. And I had to find some alternative. And it was either having a parallel life to the one I was leading or getting out of this life somehow.
What do you mean by a parallel life?
Leading a separate life along with this is where the guilt came in. I would have never considered leaving my husband. So in order to have some semblance of life and some whatever youth I have left in my, not that old, have a lifetime ahead of me, I felt that I needed to set up some sort of parallel life because I wouldn't leave him. And I threw myself into therapy, and many of my friends and family members, my siblings, were suggesting, seriously suggesting, I have this parallel life. Get out. Do what I need to do. Take care of me. And it was never really a consideration. So going into therapy was the best thing for me to do to really sort this out properly and to get through the guilt or whatever it was that I felt I had that I was facing, because this was a decision, if I was making a decision, was going to affect not just me but my spouse and my family and my friends because of the guilt issue. Once I found out that my husband was highly functioning neurologically and extremely healthy every other way except for a few minor things that can happen with anybody, you know, gallstones or anything like that, I knew that changes can be made and he can go on with his life. He may not live the way he has been accustomed to living, but he can go on. And the getting through therapy, even just the first few weeks of therapy, for me were tremendous, in that I knew now that there is the possibility of this other life out there for me. I was so closed off to that idea for so many years, like I said, was never even a consideration. Once it started to come out and there was the possibility, the excitement of that was overwhelming, and that I could live again. And things started to change for me emotionally, physically. I wanted to get out of my work situation, and I did. In a terrible economy, I was sought out and hired for two different positions, which I thought was a tremendous accomplishment and helped me feel fantastic. And I started to do, you know, the main things, you know, start to eat well, exercise, take care of yourself. And all of a sudden, you know, I started to, there was a rebirth, and I had to take it step by step because I didn't even know what the next step was. And
it's an adventure. It really
is. It was
an
adventure. And my husband is now, you know, with a family member, and I know well taken care of. Sure, the family member isn't thrilled that this was sort of, you know, put on their lap, but they weren't around all those years. And the reason why the guilt is really not a lasting guilt, especially in my case, I was a great wife. I have no doubt of that. I was a wonderful wife. I was a wonderful caregiver. And I know I did the best that I could for me to make our lives as safe and healthy and good as possible. It's very difficult the cancer patient or the survivor needs a champion to be with them. And it's a lot of pressure put on that patient to say you need to be like Lance Armstrong and you're the one that needs to take care of yourself and you're the one that needs to fight. There are many cancer patients that fight like hell and still can't beat their cancer. And I think there's a fine line between what the patient can do and what they can't do. I think that their emotional stability and fighting it as much as they possibly can goes a long way. And I feel in our case, my husband completely gave up on his life. And
did he do that over a course of time, or was there some event?
It was over a course of time. And I would, you know, take note of it every few months. And it felt like I was slamming on the brakes, like my life, you know, okay, I'm at a crossroads again. And let me examine what I have to do here, how much more responsibility I have, what he can do versus what I have to do. And over the last several years, there was nothing left that he was doing. And my friends and family had noticed it and noticed that he was capable of doing much more and yet chose to allow me to do it all. And it was getting very miserable for both parties. I'm sure it was miserable for him because the stress on me was coming out on him. Couldn't have been great for him.
And what Ellen is not telling you is that she has triplet daughters that she was raising during that period of time. About having a lot of balls in the air, or well, people in the air anyway.
The triplets are grown somewhat, thank God.
But don't we know that our children are
never
always
grow up, right.
Well, they never, they're always our children.
Right.
So
chipping away at me.
Chipping away at you, but you say that with a smile on your face. I say it with a smile on my face. We're going to come back in a minute. We haven't talked yet about the F word. If you have questions for me, if questions for Ellen, please call in. Our number again is 877-480-4120. This is the Divorce Hour with Larry Bloom on Talking Alternative.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Your nonprofit is ignored because you're small or medium-sized, but you still need expertise and help with technology, fundraising, compliance, finance, and accounting. We'll look at all of these areas on The Tony Martinetti Show, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%, on TalkingAlternative.com, Fridays 1 to 2.
TalkingAlternative.com.
So funny about peace, love, and understanding. Well, if you really think about it, there's a lot that's funny. It's funny. Marriage is funny. Divorce is funny. That, of course, was Elvis Costello. I'm here with Ellen. We're talking about everything. We are. We're talking about everything today. As I said when I opened the show, I was in court on my own divorce this morning. And, you know, it's... I went in, I was angry, I was annoyed, I was upset, I felt like everybody's hand was in my pocket, and then I listened to my wife, and I just started to laugh.
Soon to be
it. So, it's, you know, I know that the greatest thing in the world was for me to leave. And I can say that because while you are almost done. Today they gave me a trial date, so I'm not done, and I got issues. But if you look at it and you go in with a positive attitude, I think you can handle it. And there's a lot that's funny about divorce, and there's a lot that's funny about peace, love, and understanding. Let's talk about the F word.
Forgiveness.
That's right. That's the word. But I'm not talking about forgiving your spouse. I am talking about forgiving yourself. Exactly. When do you do that? How can you do that?
You have to go through the guilt, I believe. Well, you have to work through the guilt through every phase of it. And there are many tears and sleepless nights and wringing your hands and speaking to everybody about it, especially your therapist, over and over again to get past what those issues are. And you have to work on it. It is itself can be a disease that can eat away at you. And it probably did for many years to me, not even realizing it. However, I am healthy. I want to stay healthy. I want to have a life. My therapist was very helpful. I mean, there's not much to say in this situation, and we had gone to many doctors and professionals over the course of 17 years. One neuropsychologist at an acclaimed university in Boston had said to me, "Find God," I mean, there was nothing that you could sit down and say the situation sucked. It was bad. It probably wasn't getting better. He wasn't going to die, thankfully, but things really weren't going to change. He didn't care to make them change either. And we were just stuck in some, deep, dark hole. You need to go through all of that, I think, and understand it and want to come out the other end. I wanted to come out the other end. When I went to therapy this time on my own, it was funny, but the therapist said something very similar. Find the flower or the peace or the rose in your day. Just find something that refreshes you or enlightens you. And those became my glimmers. And whatever it was that gave me a glimmer of hope that day, I would take it in and build on it. And I worked on this daily. And I would share my glimmers with my kids. It helped them, which in turn helped me, which made the next day I would look for a greater glimmer. And I built on those glimmers daily, and they became, instead of my total funk with a couple of glimmers hanging from them, my attitude and my life became the one big glimmer. And I had little pieces hanging from that were issues or problems or obstacles. And I was better equipped myself to now handle any of those obstacles because I had this greater glimmer sort of enveloping me.
An inner glow.
An inner, I guess so.
Which actually shows, by the way.
Oh,
you look
you,
like
Larry.
A very happy person.
Thank you. I am. I am now. And I think I always was. I always found the upside of our relationship, always found the upside of life with the triplets. I mean, we had gone through bankruptcies and, you know, I made a joke of it going from, you know, food stamps to Madison Avenue. But literally, we did that. And you have to embrace the things that you have without it sounding so silly. It's the truth. It's the little simple things. And those were the little pieces that I built my new existence on. And it became my greater existence. So it was easy to forgive myself. It was either a double tragedy, because things were not going to change in this marriage, in this life, or one person could have been saved. And there was no reason why I should not have been saved in this. I didn't feel that my spouse cared enough about me in this whole picture. So I did love him very much. We didn't fight over this.
Well, you must have loved him very much if you married him knowing he was sick.
I did. I adored him. It just simply faded. It just simply faded to black. You give out all of your love hormones, L's from your heart, and they're never replenished. And after a while, they just run out, I guess. I mean, that's the only way I can describe it for myself. They have to be replenished in some way. And they weren't. They weren't spiritually. They weren't physically. I had no partner. I had no one to banter with. I had no one to discuss my daily issues with, our daily issues. I couldn't even complain about him to him.
Almost like another child.
Almost like another child. A child that just didn't care. So almost a child that can't make decisions, doesn't want to make decisions. Almost a child, maybe of autism that's just in their own, darkened world that can't communicate. He was able to. He just chose not to. He was happy in this, in his safe environment. But
he was
I
happy being miserable.
He was happy being miserable, exactly.
Okay.
And I was not.
You talked about going to see various doctors, and I would imagine as a cancer and brain tumor survivor, he would need to see doctors. Now, I also know from personal experience that a neuropsychologist has nothing to do with psychology. It has to do with your brain functioning. Did you and your husband ever go to a counselor, marriage counselor?
Yes, of course.
Okay, and did you voice those issues that you had in therapy?
As well as I was able to identify them and voice them at the time. I think back in those days, I was probably, you know, the children were younger, I was more emotional, and I couldn't really see it for what it was for me in particular, just the whole clump of madness and chaos that was taking over our lives, and just the why me piece, which I didn't go there that often, but it was definitely a part of our existence for both of us.
Now, when you decided to leave, did you say, oh, I'm leaving in a month or I'm leaving in 2 months? Or did you say, I'm leaving, goodbye, and close the door?
No, I didn't decide it that way, and it didn't unfold that way. It was a process. I had given my husband a trip down to see one of his family members down south. The winter was approaching. It was November, and it was better that he be down there in that weather, and it was a nice trip for him. I think he had a feeling that I was getting rid of him, as he put it, because he did mention that the day that we were going to the airport.
You didn't go with him.
I did. I didn't go on the trip with him.
Okay.
I did meet him there 2 weeks later. But I did send him down to just be with his family member alone that he wanted to be with and enjoyed being with. The family member had a feeling that it was a permanent situation and was angry with me. But that family member really hadn't been around all these years, and I felt that it was time to share a little bit. And I needed the break.
Is this the same family member who's with him now, or different?
Yes, family member. And I knew almost immediately, can't have him back. How I was going to work that out was part of the process. And I figured it out within 2 months that a divorce was the only way to get through this.
And did you... So I'm just curious. So when did you tell him?
I told him 3 months later. We decided that there would be a permanent separation.
And we're going to come back in a minute, and we will talk about when that 3 months are in relation to when you actually left and what happened in that period of time. We are talking to Ellen Gold. We are talking about divorcing a sick spouse. We are talking at Talking Alternative. This is the Divorce Hour, and I am your host, Larry Bloom.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Benatar, love is a battlefield. Marriage is a battlefield. Divorce is a war zone. We are here today talking with Ellen Gold about divorcing a sick spouse, about the guilt word, about the forgiveness word. Ellen, I'm just did a little mental math in my head. So November, you send him to visit his relative. He comes back. And in January, you said...
He didn't come back.
Oh, he didn't come back.
I went there. And at the end of January, decided talked about a permanent separation. During that conversation, he brought up some reasons why he wanted to come back. And none of those reasons included me. They were all about him, which summed up our marriage, which was all about him and taking care of him. And I had 3 months of starting to take care of myself. So... I was starting to really enjoy that, and I didn't want to take care of him anymore. Now, there were, you know, preparations. I needed to make sure that he was taken care of financially, and by that I don't mean alimony. His health insurance, he was all set with that. Everything was transferred to this new address.
I would imagine he's on Social Security disability as well.
He's on Social Security disability, and there is some family money, so he will be well taken care of. So all of our assets have been completely separated. So, going forward with the divorce was pretty simple for me, and hopefully it will stay that way. It's not been contested, and it's just clean cut. So, you know, somewhat fortunate in that.
No tears?
I don't know if there are any tears on his part. There were many, many tears on mine.
But not in front of him?
I'm sure that there were over the years, and I'm sure at this, during this process, there were. There were a few visits that were very disturbing.
And he didn't beg to come back?
Not in the least bit.
Didn't want?
Wanted to come back for himself, for the things that he thought were important for him, and was probably not 100% comfortable in his environment. But it's a good environment for him.
Is he away?
Is he away?
Yeah, I mean, is he in a facility, but is he close to you, or is he...
He's down south in Florida.
Okay, and that's good. You don't have to deal with them on a daily basis.
It's very good.
That's great. We have a caller. We have Esther on line one. Hello, Esther.
Hello. Nice to meet you. Ellen, I'm calling with a question for you.
Okay.
Sorry, Larry.
It's okay.
What is it like getting back out there and dating? With someone new after being a caregiver? Is it hard to not care for take care of them?
Yes, that's an interesting question. Well, first, it took a while to even go out dating. But once I started, yes, it was... I had to check on the ages that I felt would be more appropriate for me.
What does that mean? You mean somebody who wasn't 14 years older than you, or 14 years younger than you?
14 years younger would be very nice, but 14 years, 14 years older was out of the question. Actually, even more than 5 years older is becoming out of the question. I don't feel that I miss that much, but I don't want to miss anything going forward. So I want to be with somebody young and as healthy, you know, as we can, relatively healthy, living a healthy lifestyle. So I'd rather start off on the younger side if possible. So as close to my age as possible. You know, people come in all different shapes and sizes and health conditions these days. So it's delicate. You know, I'm on the online dating sites and, people have all sorts of issues and some that are, you know, obviously would not be their fault, but here they are. And I did meet somebody that was probably healthy now, but had some health issues and he had some disabilities. And when I did meet him, my doorman had called me up and were concerned that I was going to go out with somebody in a similar situation to what I was married to. I thought that was quite telling that my doormen were looking out for me. And as soon as I came down and I met this individual, I knew immediately he may be lovely and fantastic. I could not put myself back into that. He was unstable on his feet and I felt myself going into immediately moving into that caregiver role again and starting to hold on to his arm and watch where he was going and watch his steps on the uneven pavement. And I literally had to stop myself and tell him my story, which I generally don't tell on a date. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't go near that. So it's quite interesting, to try and date somebody, and I don't want anyone to think that I would not date them because they are not well, or I would drop them because they are not well, or God forbid get sick, but it's a tough situation.
Well, let's face it, we're all going to go sometime.
Absolutely.
And you're not going to go right in the snap of a finger. Right. Usually you're going to get right sick for a while.
And I'd want somebody to be there for me. I just went into this one with my eyes wide open, and it was miserable for many years. And so I have to be cautious. It's an interesting question. It doesn't really have an answer. So,
well, what you did is very brave.
I agree.
And very difficult.
Yes, it was.
So,
do you have any other questions? Esther, do you have any other questions for us?
No, that's all I have. But thank you.
Nothing for me?
Not at this time, Larry, but maybe I'll call back at another time.
Okay, keep listening and tell your friends. Thank you.
I enjoy it. Thank you.
Oh, it's nice that we had a caller, isn't it?
That was very nice.
Very nice. Because I would not have asked you about dating. I didn't think it was part of the show, to be honest with you.
Well,
but
can have a new segment.
We
now
can have a new segment. I want to do a... Well, you'll have to call in when I do my dating show.
Okay.
I'm absolutely actually... I'm hoping to get someone on from J-Date.
Uh-huh.
Not a prospective date.
I understand.
But a, you know, a management figure.
Okay.
Someone who understands the process. It's very interesting. You know what I learned today?
What did you learn?
Now that we're on iTunes Radio, we are picked up by listeners in over 45 different countries.
How do you like that?
Isn't that incredible? So if you like what you hear, keep listening. Keep calling in, Esther. And tell your friends. Tell your friends. So I don't think the forgiveness part of yourself was that hard, was it?
It was not.
No, it doesn't sound like it. I know for myself, you know, I had the tears come at me when I said I was leaving. What am I going to do? And I, even this morning, I got, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. You didn't do this, you didn't do that. So, you know, when I start to feel good, I get the guilt thrown back in my face. And it's very difficult. I find it's very difficult. And to forgive myself. And I thought I did some pretty good things in there. I didn't think I was a bad husband. I know I was a good father.
You have to build on the good things.
Yeah.
You have to recognize anything you did that was not great, that you could have done better, not that you could change it, but perhaps moving forward you can do it differently.
Now, this is all pretty
new people.
Pretty
perhaps.
Fast for you. You
it's
you,
very fast. Although going through it, it's... I think I went through most of the guilt and trying to work out the forgiveness prior to going through the process with the therapist and the attorney. And the initial contact with the attorney was to get, you know, to change insurances, to get state assistance. And we were going down a different road originally, and divorce was a piece of that puzzle. So it had been brought up to me early before he had even left the house. So the thought process was there for many, many months before it came to be.
Okay, so, we're going to talk about the lawyers, because after all, I'm a lawyer, and I'm always interested in that. When we come back,
okay. We're
here with Ellen Gold. This is the Divorce Hour with Larry Blum here on Talking Alternative.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
I'm Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of The Tony Martinetti Show, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Your nonprofit is ignored because you're small or medium-sized, but you still need expertise and help with technology, fundraising, compliance, finance, and accounting. We'll look at all of these areas on The Tony Martinetti Show, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%, on TalkingAlternative.com, Fridays 1 to 2.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The Everly Brothers, you've lost that love and feeling. Sam has picked out the music today, as he always does. And we all have to remember that if we sound good, it's because of Sam. And if we sound lousy, it's because of me. We are here. This is our last segment with Ellen. Hopefully you'll come back again and we can talk about this issue again.
Of course.
Thank you. I can't get over the lyrics to that song. You know, you never close your eyes. Last week we had Dr. Elisa English in talking about deposits into the emotional bank account of a relationship. It sounds to me like you were the one who was making all the deposits and he was the one who was making all the withdrawals.
That's exactly right. And I think that goes along in all relationships, especially ones headed for divorce. I don't think it has anything to do with a sick spouse or a not sick spouse. It's a sick marriage or a sick relationship. But There has to be a balance and a give and take and a back and forth. And as simple as that sounds, it's probably physiologically impossible, if that's a word, to continue to love back when there are no deposits. There's nothing left in your heart to give anymore.
I believe they call that emotional bankruptcy.
That's exactly it, Larry Bloom. there has to be a well of love to be able to give back, or it just fades to black. And fortunately or unfortunately, in my case, that helped the guilt, and it helped with the forgiveness, because life does go on, and love can reappear, and there are great things ahead, no matter what the situation is, after divorce, after death, after an illness. So this carries through in all aspects. And I think for me it was a very good decision. I don't know that this would be something that would work for somebody else. I didn't have a lifetime invested in this marriage. He was not the father of my children. So perhaps that made it a little easier for me. It's not a 30 or 35 year marriage. It helped. Those little things helped me be able to rebuild and walk away.
I have so many questions.
Please.
How'd the girls take it?
Interestingly enough, the girls were actually very happy that I made this decision. They were not pleased with the state that their mother was in, being in a caregiver state for so many years. They also felt, and this came out after a while, that they felt they were, jealous of this caretaker position that I had, and that my husband had taken most of the attention away from them. They wanted some of that. They knew it was possible. They knew that I could be that caring mom that could, do everything for them, perhaps too much. They were jealous, and they were honest about it, and I appreciated that. So they are behind me, very happy for me that this has moved on. They don't like their mother dating. But that's just too bad.
Okay, fair enough. And I would imagine that now they have their mother back as their caregiver again.
Exactly. Okay. So, double-edged sword.
We are almost out of time, but I did want to ask you, because you said something about the lawyers. You didn't go to a divorce lawyer right away, did you?
I didn't go to a divorce lawyer. I went to an attorney that would help sort of dissolve find some of the financial assets so that my husband was able to get state assistance. And state of New York at the time, when we had looked into this a year ago, things have changed, had some of the best resources. Had it come to that we would have almost forced that on Jeff, so that I was able to, start that parallel life, whatever that was going to be, which was just a concept at the time, just to give me some more freedom in my life. And it turned into divorce, as I said, was one of the, small pieces. And would I ever consider it? And as time went on and he was out of the house, week after week, I considered it more and more until it became the reality. A happy reality, something I could live with.
Ellen, I want to thank you so much for coming in today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks
believe
for
it or not,
me.
Our time is just about up.
How do you like that?
Future shows. I believe I will be having my good friend Phil Camerison next week, mm-hmm. who is not only a divorce attorney, but used to be the chief principal law assistant to a matrimonial judge. So that will be an interesting conversation. I'm working on the J-Date people. If they don't want to come on, I'll go to one of the other dating sites. I've seen them before. I can see them now from a different perspective.
There are plenty of fish out there.
So to speak. Very good. And I also have lined up a sex therapist, but I want to do the dating show before I do the sex show.
Okay.
Everybody stay tuned. My good friend Tony Martinetti is going to be on next, talking about social media and online fundraising. This has been the Divorce Hour. You can send me topic issues or questions at larry@divorcedbybloom.com. If you have questions for Ellen, you have to go through me. Sorry, but that's the way it works. It's been fun. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you back here next week for the Divorce Hour.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together? Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.